For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Now, it's the Mike Calta Show.
Twenty on the Mike Calta Show. It's 1025 The Bone, 727-579-1025 or 800-771-1025. Ian Beckles will be in here at around 8:30 or so. Monday, we have a big announcement coming up. It is going to be a new live event that we are doing. I don't really want to say too much.
No, honest,
I
don't details want to, blow it. To
yeah, details coming listen. On Monday.
Yeah.
You're going to want to pay attention. You're going to want to hop on it real quick because it's not a very, it's a limited amount. Let's just say that.
Mm-hmm.
But it'll be good. It'll be fun. It'll be fun. It'll be funny. It'll be a good weekend of events. That's all I'm going to say. Let's leave it at that. Ladies and gentlemen, it is Wednesday in the 8 o'clock hour, which we've not been able to do in some time. Let's go to Galvin for a brand new open letter.
And now an open letter. From Galvin.
This is an open letter to people that use annoying words and phrases. Dear people that use annoying words and phrases, seriously, I've noticed a lot of people using little catchphrases when they speak. At the end of the day, or I hear what you're saying, or if I'm being honest, this is annoying lingo is usually done by people in the corporate world. They hear someone say it to them, and then they adopt that way of speaking, and suddenly everyone's talking like idiots. Also, if I'm being honest, that's an interesting saying. Why not say, if I stop lying to you for a second? Here's one. Do I hate when people ask a question, then answer it? Yes, I do. Could that way of speaking be any more annoying? Not at this juncture. Do I want to stab you in the neck with a pen? Indubitably. Here's an idea for you. Just say what you mean. Stop trying to church it up. Sometimes people need to be told that a bad idea is a bad idea. Or just say, yeah, we're definitely not going to do that. If you don't, then that person is going to keep coming back to you with bad ideas. And I can guarantee right now, whatever job you work, that if you go and you talk to your manager today for 5 minutes, you're going to hear about 10 different buzzwords and phrases. Synergy, let's circle back, deep dive, touch base, think outside the box. How about I think outside this job because you're an idiot and I don't want to work here anymore? Also, just so we're on the same page, the only way I'm circling back will be to hit you with my car in the parking lot. Mm-hmm. I'm Galvin from the Mike Calta Show, and this has been an open letter to people that use annoying words and phrases.
Thankfully, we don't get a lot of that.
No, we don't have to deal with that in, dealing with John. John doesn't do any of that stupid jargon or anything. But people, a lot of people do, and I'm just surprised by it.
Dude, Ian just came in and scared the hell out of Spanish, man.
That was fantastic.
He just scared the hell out of Spanish.
That did great. Scare me.
How are you, buddy?
Good morning.
I have these, but I knocked the thing out. If you want to slide them back in there or just put it against your ear.
Yeah.
Our friend Ian Beckles is here with us. Hold on. I got to fix the mics and all that.
Yeah.
There we go.
Ghetto headphones.
I like the hat. Where do you get all these Tampa Bay hats that nobody else seems to have?
When you purchase stuff on New Era.
Oh, you can go.
What happens, Instagram catches you. So they know what I like, and they tease me every day. I buy hats every week, and I have a sickness.
You got to be careful, though, with the Instagram. You got to go and make sure that website's a real website. Because I've had stuff where Instagram comes up, and then I check it, and they're like, this is a bogus website. Yeah.
If it says New Era to me, I don't think they can mess with that logo.
Right. Although, I did go to buy some Brooks running stuff, and it was like Brooks / running / org.net, you know, and I was like, oh, this isn't the real thing.
This is what you do. When you want to buy something on Instagram, you immediately go to Amazon and see if they have it. That's And that happened to me yesterday. And by the way, we should have an event with this. I bought yesterday a four, I don't know what, even know what it's called. It's a four-way volleyball net for the pool. It sits in the pool, and it's like an X. And you have four different teams.
Oh, interesting.
Between, makes sense. And you hit over the, yeah. I like that.
Interesting.
That looks, right? Playing all volleyball in the pool stinks because one team always has to be in the deep end. So it never works out. And this one here, you put it all in the shallow end, everybody could stand. Fair is fair.
That's why you need to do the gaming pool.
The what?
It's a gaming pool. Blaine had one at his house where both ends are shallow and then it goes deep in the middle. But that way, like, it's specifically made to play volleyball and like different games and stuff.
Yeah, I had that in my old house, but I didn't put this pool in. So
right.
I didn't know I had a name, a gaming pool.
Yeah. I used to be goalie on my water polo team.
You never cease to surprise me.
I want to see pictures.
Water polo?
Yeah, I played water polo. I think I played almost every sport.
Is it a Canadian thing?
I just a weird black young kid.
There is a guy, Dave Williamson, who's a comedian. He was on tour with Bert, and he's also the barbecue guy. I think you might have met him before. But anyway, he told this story when he was here with Bert that this is one of the funniest things that I've ever heard. He said that him and his friends played water polo, and there used to be, like, I guess Olympic water polo teams, and they go to the qualifiers, and so he said they would find one player. They would get really drunk, and then they'd go there and they'd support that player. And he goes, so the guy would be playing, and we'd be going crazy for him. And the teammates would be like, "Well, I don't know. I don't know who they are."
Beautiful.
I thought that'd be great. How have you been, man?
Good. Life is good, brother.
Is it?
Yeah, it is good.
Yeah. I experimented with some edibles.
Okay.
I always think of you when I do that.
Good.
It enhanced my normal feeling. It made me more tired than I usually am.
Okay. Well, my edibles to me are a late night thing.
Yes.
Like, I don't take an edible in the daytime and think I'm going to be productive.
But the problem for me was I did that. I took it at night, but I sleep upstairs. Mm-hmm. Do you know how hard it was for me to get myself to get up and go upstairs when you're on the edible?
You got to give yourself a couple extra hours.
Oh, my God. I was like, there's just only like 12 stairs, but I don't want to do
it.
But
it was a good sleep, though.
It was a good sleep.
It was such a good sleep.
It was a good
sleep. You didn't budge.
You know what's weird is that I'm not talking about my dreams, Calvin. Mm. But when I'm sleeping, I talk to myself in my sleep. Did you do that?
I think I used to. I don't even dream anymore.
You don't?
No.
Why? Because you dream while you're just during the day?
I don't know. I wish I would. I just don't dream.
I dream vividly. I dream in color. I dream stories. I dream good ones, bad ones. But I spend the majority of my time in my sleep talking to myself. Like, I'll just be having conversations with myself in my head, and they're, I'm supposed to be asleep. I shouldn't be doing that.
It doesn't sound like you're asleep.
But I am. I even wear the mask, and I get all right out.
You wear that
out.
Mask?
Yeah, dude. I don't like
it. I tried it.
Yeah.
I don't know if I've made it one night.
I like it. I like it because, first of all, I like a constant airflow. You know, I sleep with fans and all that stuff. So a little extra air in my face doesn't hurt me, but if I don't wear it, I'm up to pee three or four times a night. I wear it maybe once.
You ever
tried
the mouth guard thing?
Yes, none of them worked. I snore with all. I may be breathing properly with those things, but I still snore through all of them. I had to have one where I had to get it from Canada. I had to find a Canadian to go buy it from the dentist for me and then ship it because they wouldn't ship it to the United States. I don't think they could. I don't think it was medically passed here.
You don't have Canadian pharmacies here.
Well, this was years ago.
Okay.
And I knew a girl who lived in Toronto. So she went and got it for me and sent it to me. And I was like, well, this is the answer to all our problems. Snored that night with it in my mouth.
Canadian, when you go to a Canadian pharmacy, it's probably about a third of the price.
Oh, really?
Oh, it's ridiculous. Absolutely. Mm.
What are you guys, what are they doing with all that? Like, how come they're not a big superpower if all the... If
Canada?
Yeah.
I mean, what
because they give all the stuff away for free and don't make all the money.
Okay, well, United States is a superpower, but we're like $98 trillion in debt. I mean, how super is that?
We just print more money.
Oh, yeah. I understand. But I don't know how super we are anymore. Are we super?
Yeah, if you try to attack us, we'll kill you. Because we've got a big-ass military. We're strong.
We're super, though.
I mean, like, we could fight other super countries. Canada is, I feel like if we said to Canada, all right, we changed our mind. We're coming in.
We're too nice. Us Canadians are too nice. We're nice people.
Yeah, like, I feel like the day we call up and go, it's America time. We're coming in. You guys go, all right, well, it went a lot longer than we thought.
Well, Canada got their mentality from England.
Right.
So how tough is that?
Not tough at all.
Thank you.
Over the years, being so close to us and being our neighbor, you would think that they'd be like, maybe we should be more like those guys.
You were just a tough guys from the South.
Yeah.
We're just the peaceful people. Everybody goes to Canada, they say two things. It's so clean and everybody's so nice. Those are the two things.
Very true.
That's it. That's all we got.
Very so clean tonight and very diverse.
Very diverse.
You do walk down the street and you see white people, black people, Indian people, European people. You do see all
very
kinds of
little
people.
Racism. Well, the difference is, and I've explained this to people.
Yeah.
The difference between a Canadian brother and a Southern brother are literally almost polar opposites. A Canadian brother was brought there,
right,
probably from the West Indies,
uh-huh,
from a family that was educated.
Right.
A Southern brother was brought here way different.
Uh-huh.
You see what I'm saying?
Different boat ride.
Different. So
yeah,
when I got here, everybody's like, why are you talking like that?
You mean you? There was
pronouncing.
There was a comedian that said that in the 80s or maybe the 90s about Colin Powell. They were like, he talks so well. Mm. And then he was like, yeah, what do you think?
Yeah.
All black people speak like rap stars?
Me and Ron went back and forth with this one time. He says, you always get offended when people say you're well-spoken. I go, has anybody ever said it to you?
Yeah.
Right,
and he
yeah.
goes, no. And I go, there you go. I'm educated.
Yeah.
I have a degree, and I don't know where it is, but I have a degree.
So I've been trying to, I've been talking to my wife about, because you know my wife's a therapist, so I've been very vocal about this Pride stuff and this Target stuff and Bud Light and all that. So none of it's motivated by money. Bud Light's never, I think Bud Light actually specifically said, let's not talk about it. You know?
Understandable.
But I have a real problem with people who are so offended by things.
Me too.
And if you could just mind your own business, the world would be a lot better place. Everybody go about their own business, do their own thing. And last night I watched this show. It was like Dateline or one of those shows. And they had Elliot Page on, who was Juno, you know, was a Oscar-nominated female actress now living her life as a man.
Okay.
And went through the whole story about how always knowing that she wanted to be a he, and the mother kind of knowing that, you know, asking if she could cut her hair short, if she could wear clothes, then remember getting bullied in school as a result of it. And then the mother finally was like, hey, I know what I'm dealing with here, and was still a very loving mother. And then when Ellen Page became old enough to do her own thing, she said, look, this is what I'm doing. I can live my own life, and did it, and has become a much happier person. Other than the fact that I'll never see a Juno sequel again,
okay,
it doesn't affect me in any way.
Correct.
And last night, Elliot Page was saying how much happier he is and how much his life is better and how much stronger the relationship with his mother is, and his mother is fully loving and supporting, even though it's got to be weird for a parent to deal with, and it's now a happy life. Then cut to the next story where you had a transgendered girl to a boy who was appearing before Congress and talking, but had been bullied so hard, ended up killing himself.
Yep.
And I just, it was like, but why? Like what is other people's problem enough to where they are so angry that, you know, treating this person this way could lead, as if they didn't have enough problems with their dealing internally, that they could end up killing themselves.
Well, first of all, I'm about inclusion.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah.
Okay. You have to understand, I got bullied. Okay. The word bullied is overused. Okay. Bullying is part of life.
Yeah.
You got bullied. Everybody in this room got bullied. Nobody commits suicide. So, like, if you commit suicide because somebody's bullying you, I think that's deeper than just the bullying.
Yeah.
I understand what you said. Listen, somebody changing their life and becoming happier, yeah, please do that.
Right.
That's what I want you
especially
to do.
Especially at the expense of nobody else.
Correct.
Yeah.
So I want you to do that. This is where there has to be a line somewhere. And everybody's trying to race the line. Like, they don't want any line. Like, we have a dignitary, a Kava House. We have quite a few transgender people there.
Right.
So I sit and I talk to them. And I ask people, talk to people. You'll be amazed what you hear.
So much smarter.
Unbelievable. I approached them.
Uh-huh.
And I said, well, can I talk to you about a few things? And when I was done, my opinion didn't change, but they added some things to just my mentality.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm never going to say that somebody that used to be a man should go into a woman's bathroom behind my daughter. I'll smash you.
Right. I think we've all agreed in this room that's a common sense thing.
Or somebody grew up a man shouldn't compete in anything physical with a woman. That's where my line stops. Everything else I don't give a crap about.
Right.
Just go on and do your business.
That affects other people.
Correct.
That affects other people. And I think common sense, we all agree with that. And I think transgender people who feel like it's unfair may be willing to say, okay, well, if we can do everything else and be treated equally, we can give up the bathroom thing, or we're only compete in sports that are either transgender sports or whatever.
But the few that won't give it up.
Yeah, well,
that's what I'm saying. There's problems.
The majority of them say that's hate speech. If you say that they can't, well, they're a woman now or they're a man now, whatever, and if you disagree with anything, then you hate them and you're against them.
Just like I won't back down against some people in my audience who are very against what I'm saying, I won't back down to that either. I'm not going to change my mind on the common sense. No, I'm not. And I'm watching this thing last night, and I'm trying to say, I don't really know anybody. I do know a transgender person that was in the media in this market, okay? And that was somebody that I was able to do what you did and ask questions and talk on the air, who always said to me, if you ever need me to come on the air and talk to your listeners, I'm happy to do that.
Sure.
Then we met Viv. Viv's transgender.
Met Viv.
Viv also seems to be somebody who would have been miserable if they didn't make the transition. So I see how people are happier. Viv has been a great part of the show. She's been fun to talk to. She's been fun to do stuff. There's nothing about Viv wearing a dress and the hair that makes me change my life at all. The other person that we talked to, Erica, was contemplating suicide and had a daughter and all this, and felt that way enough to go ahead in an adult life and make that change to live a happier life. I don't see why that gets everybody up in arms. So I was talking to my wife about this last night. I'm trying to figure out why I'm so, because it's not really that close to me. You know what I mean? I'd have people say, oh, one of your kids thinking about it, or one of your kids gay. No. And if they did, I'd fully support them. And I've always said that. But, I think it was Muhammad Ali. Muhammad Ali, when I was a kid, I always thought he was just a draft dodger. Great boxer, draft dodger. I wouldn't want to go fight in Vietnam, I don't know.
Sure.
And then I watched his documentaries with Muhammad Ali, and Muhammad Ali was like, I boxed my ass off, and then I was a representative for the United States in the Olympics, and I went there and won a gold medal representing my country. And then I came back here, and I could not eat in restaurants. I could not use the same bathrooms. I was treated like an outcast. And he's like, I just represented this country to the highest level of competition and brought a gold medal home and then came back here and was treated like crap. And then the next week, they're like, now we want you to go to a country you never heard of. Because he said, I ain't never heard of no Vietnam. I'm going to have to go to Vietnam and fight in a war that has nothing to do with me. And I'm not going. And I was like, he's right. He's 100% right. And it opened my eyes to a lot of things. And one of the things I always point out is, I don't know if you've been listening, but I'm obsessed lately. Every night I watch a little bit of The Godfather. If you watch the scene in The Godfather 2 where Michael Corleone has to go against a congressional hearing, if you look around the room, there's maybe 300 people in the room, one black person. And that opened my eyes to, if I watch C-SPAN footage of things on TV and they show any congressional hearing from the 80s or the 70s or even some of the 90s, no black people. And if they are, they're somebody's assistant, they're somebody whatever. And I remember saying to my mother when I was a kid, at Christmas time, we get these Toys R Us inserts for, you know, toys they had for sale. And I said to my mother, why would anybody want a black Barbie? Why do you have to have a white Barbie or black Barbie? Mm-hmm. And my mother said, I don't know, maybe black girls would want to play with a black Barbie. And I was like, Barbie's white. Why wouldn't they just play with the Barbie? And you never understand it. And then you realize that those kids want to play with something that they identify with. And as time went on, I started realizing how black people were left out of everything. And so what you saw was, and if it was an entertainment, for the most part, the black person was the maid, was the joke, you know, the comic relief or something. And that's what people don't understand. That's what people don't see. And when you see that stuff, you're kind of like, oh, all right, now I get it. And really, Muhammad Ali was the one that sent that off. So now when you get a different issue with the same issue with transgender people, you need to treat people equally, and you need to just worry about your own life.
I don't know, and this is what's odd about Muhammad Ali, and I agree with everything you said. If that happened today, Muhammad Ali didn't go to war because of his Muslim beliefs, you think that would go over well?
No.
I don't think it would either.
No.
So I don't think times have changed that much. The problem I have is, and this, as being a black man not from this country, I like to listen and read.
Yeah.
Okay, so my thing is, if you're a white American, you should be proud of your country, but you shouldn't be offended when a black person says that this country has dissed us. You shouldn't be offended. Just go back and read. Seriously.
Yeah.
Go back and read. Like, it's still happening, by the way. By the way, the NFL, when I'm doing my test, my cognitive test, the NFL admitted they had me dumber than the white player. That was yesterday. Oh. That wasn't 50 years ago.
Yeah.
So this is not, it's not going to stop.
I have to think it wasn't that long ago.
It was, yeah. It was two years ago.
No, but I mean, like, this whole
no,
whole
it's
thing,
not long
mean,
at
yeah,
all.
You look like 20 years ago. It was pretty awful.
We keep on being shocked over things. Muhammad Ali stood up for something, and God bless him. He was crucified for it. I think he would be crucified today. I really do.
Well, I think the problem with I think Colin Kaepernick and what he did, I honestly, I'm just going to be honest, but I don't think Colin Kaepernick was a good enough player to get the respect that he was trying to get. Muhammad Ali was the greatest.
I'd have to disagree with you on this one. I don't think any player would have got away with that. I don't think it mattered. Because I'm going to say this, okay? I heard people on sports radio, after Colin Kaepernick wasn't allowed back in the league, told me he wasn't good enough.
Oh, really?
What?
Well,
Buffalo put out his quarterback. Who was that one guy? Friedman or something? What was his name? He threw like 18 interceptions.
Yeah.
And I go, Colin Kaepernick's not better than that guy? Colin Kaepernick is still better than probably two-thirds of the backup quarterbacks in the NFL.
See, yeah, but I don't – yeah, maybe backup quarterback.
But,
yeah.
But he's still better.
Yeah.
So if, I, you know I what happens remember, if our backup quarterback plays, we lose.
But I don't mean that he's not a good quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
What I mean is his caliber of player wasn't good enough. If Tom Brady was a black player and Jim Brown.
If Tom Brady was a black player, he wouldn't be as popular.
I don't know, dude.
No,
you think so? You don't think so?
Tom Brady's a black player, he's not Tom Brady.
No, let's get this straight. No black player is as popular as a white player. Let's just, in America, there's America's built of, from white people. It's, what is it, 80%? I don't know what percentage it is.
Yeah.
The goal, when the Bucks are playing, look in the stands. It might be 90% white. Well, if I get drawn to NASCAR,
uh-huh.
I'm going to look for a black driver. Because that's just what happens. And like, so I'll give you an example. Scotty Miller, okay?
Yeah.
I'm on sports radio. You know how many times I talk about Scotty Miller? Oh, I don't know why I love Scotty Miller. You like him because he reminds you of yourself.
Scotty Miller reminds you because you he's of you?
Well, not on me,
no.
Of them.
Oh,
you're a little white guy that likes sports, and Scotty Miller, like, man, I like that guy. There's something about him. Scotty Miller, they're like, we need more Scotty Miller. I go, did anybody know me catches he had last year?
Right.
It was five.
Right.
So, like, if he was black, we would have never heard of him.
But, okay, but let me tell you how I feel about that as a white guy.
Mm-hmm.
I like Scotty Miller
mm-hmm.
because he was so goddamn fast
okay.
for a white guy. And that was
won't
why.
Stop.
Yeah,
if you have to take that part out if you don't want to make race. You said he's white. He's fast for a white guy.
Right. Like,
so that's the difference.
When's the last time we had a white receiver on this
team
that was
black,
that fast?
You wouldn't really have known him.
No, because the black players.
We're saying the same thing.
Yeah, yeah. No. Mm. I know what I'm saying is right, but it wasn't like, oh, now he's my favorite player. I was like, that's why I noticed him.
No, I understand.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I said, I noticed Lewis Hamilton or whatever because he's black.
Yeah.
You have a white
you're going to notice.
You know what's the most marketable person in sports? A white running back.
Yeah.
By far. I've always said that. And Christian McCaffrey, yeah. I believe he's a number. I said it for years. I go, the next Mike Allstott is going to sell ridiculous amounts of, and I think Christian McCaffrey's number one, I believe, in jersey sales.
See,
it's not because he's the best player.
Yeah.
No, he's not better than Derrick Henry.
No, but he's up there in the top three
good.
Players.
But to be the number one selling is because of his skin color. We have to understand that.
Yeah.
We have to understand that.
I'm trying to think.
I think the only athlete that has transcended that is Michael Jordan. Everybody loves
Make
Michael
him
Jordan.
White, though. He'll be more popular.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he'll be more popular. He won't be. He's still the most popular, but he'd be more popular.
I don't think people could handle Michael Jordan being white. If Michael Jordan was white and was doing the stuff that he did, people's head would explode.
They would not be able to understand
a white player doing that stuff. You know what I mean? For real. Because he was so much better than everybody else in the league. If that was a white player, right, people's heads would explode.
Is there a white basketball player besides Larry Bird? I mean, I know there was John Stockton and a couple of guys, but is there a white basketball player in that caliber of top 10 players?
Well, the best basketball player in the world right now is white. Djokovic's the best player in the world.
Yeah, center.
Right? He's the best player in the world. I could debate that. I'm telling you, he's the best player in the world right now.
Yeah, but
he's amazing.
He's not white. He's not like not American. From Indiana.
He's not American.
Right.
See, that's what you're explaining what I'm trying to say. If you're white and American,
yes,
boy, you're going to sell a lot of tickets. If Michael Jordan was white, there's still 30% of this country that don't like Michael Jordan because he's black. So if he was white, those 30% would like him.
You had, Pistol Pete back in the day, whatever. Right. But then, you also White Chocolate, Jason Williams.
Who was great.
But because he was a white player playing streetball type basketball, you know what I mean? Like in the passing and doing all that stuff.
There have been some great white players now, but not a lot of great American white players.
Yes.
Steve Nash was amazing. Canadian,
yeah.
Yeah. What's in there? Vladdy.
Levi.
I can't think of any others but Larry Bird off the top of my head.
Larry Bird.
John Stockton and Jason Williams.
Chris Mullins.
Now we're digging, though.
He was on the Olympic team.
Remember R.O.C.K. in the USA, the John Mellencamp song?
I remember. Yeah. You know, I went to school.
What do you mean?
I went to Indiana.
Oh.
I actually saw John Cougar playing in a little bar in Indiana.
Did you really?
I did, yes.
Manson did a song back in the day called White Guys in the NBA. Okay. And it was funny because it just names all the white guys. Yeah. And you remember them, but very few of them were that.
Well, you could probably do the same thing in hockey for black people.
Yeah. You know? Well, not now, though.
Yeah, but we don't know any of them.
Look, P.K. Subban gets way more.
Name me three other black hockey players. I can't either.
Outside of the Lightning.
I'm not sure I can name three black hockey players ever.
Yeah.
There's not that many.
P.K., there's Kevin Weeks.
Anson Williams.
Anson Williams is Potsy from Happy Days.
Well, I think there was an Anson Williams. I think there was.
And there was no black people except for Styx. Styx on Happy Days, who was the drummer for
Brett
a couple
Fuhr.
Of episodes. There are a bunch now.
There's a bunch, but we just don't know them.
It says
Here, hold on. There you go.
It says there's 34 active black players in the NHL.
34
total.
Still a very small number.
It's like 1.5.
Is there?
They're all Canadian.
So it's according to USA Today.
It's so funny. I put in the best white basketball players of all time, whatever, and they are all either played in the 70s or foreign.
Right.
Except for Larry Bird.
Yeah.
And John Stockton.
I went to a Miami Heat game one time, and Sean Bradley came in on the bench. And I swear to God, and I don't know what team he was on, but when he came off that bench, it looked like when the aliens come out of Close Encounters. Yeah. Like he was like a praying mantis came to life. He was the most awkward thing I've ever seen. He was so long and skinny.
I've seen something more awkward. Mm. I saw it at our Magic game one time. And remember George Mirason?
Yeah.
He was on the other team, and I didn't know. They put him in. No way he was that awkward. Like, no. he had problems like moving 6 feet.
Yeah. He's not an athlete. He was just big.
He was just huge. Yes.
Didn't he wrestle or whatever? Oh, no, I think he was.
He did that movie with Billy Crystal, My Favorite Giant, or whatever it was.
He was a really awkward human pork thing.
Yeah, but Sean Bradley was 7'5", 220. 7'5", 220.
That's huge.
He got body.
But that's so skinny, too.
Yeah, but I mean, that's just such a tall. You're not used to doing this at all, especially me at 6'2". What's that?
See, he was 7'6". Remember, Manute Bol was 201. Manute Bol weighed 201 pounds, and he was 7'7".
Yeah.
You see Bol?
No.
His son?
Yeah.
I think he's 7'8".
What is his name?
105 pounds. Yeah. Like, literally, he'll have not a lick of meat.
So funny.
No muscle. None. They just pulled him out of the bush.
I was going to say.
come here, young man. We got some money for you.
Was it Adam Sandler in that movie where he's the agent that goes out and finds the basketball player?
Hustle.
That was a good movie.
Yeah.
But that movie's been done so many times.
Kevin Bacon did it.
Go out and find Kevin Bacon. You go out and find the one guy who's playing basketball and is tall. Although I did like Blue Chips when they went and found Shaq in New Orleans playing on a chain.
I knew a lot of the
hoop.
People in the movie. That was filmed in Bloomington.
Oh, really?
The funny thing about that was that actually happened with Shaq was, his father was in the military, so he was on military bases. And he went to talk. I think the coach from LSU was there. And his father was like, go talk to him, see if you can get a scholarship. Like, go get in there and stuff. So Shaq went, he goes, can you help me build up my lower body and make me stronger and this and that and everything? And he goes, how long you been in the military, soldier? And he goes, oh, I'm not in the military. I'm 13. And he like, he said the coach grabbed him by the arm and like looked around like it was a secret. And he goes, is your father around?
Oh, that's funny.
I think it's a very similar thing happened to me. I was 7. And I was walking in the park, and a coach goes, come here. He goes, what's your name? I said, Ian. He goes, you don't play football? I said, no, I play hockey. He goes, give this note to your father. And I think it said, your son should be playing football.
Really?
I believe so, yeah.
How big were you when you were 7?
This big.
Yeah?
Well, like, in relative. I've always been this big relative to my age. Like, as big as I am to the rest of the world, that's how big I was at 7.
Yeah.
Well, you got to figure, I was 311th grade.
What?
Yeah,
I mean, 300... pounds. Squatty muscular pounds.
Bench
yeah.
400. I wasn't no normal cat. No, you know what I mean? Like, so if I was 311th grade, that means in 8th grade, I was a lot.
Yeah.
And in 3rd grade, I was a lot.
Yeah.
And then when I was 4, I was a lot.
Wow, that's crazy. Where
now? How big of a baby were you?
I was only 7'11", but the story was I was a C-section, and my mother, I think, lost 2 babies before me.
Oh.
And she was crying because I was in the ICU. My uncle came back to her and goes, I saw that baby ain't going nowhere. He was like, you got the widest baby and I see you.
I would say probably now, if you were 7 years old and you were the size you were, you wouldn't be able to play with other 7-year-olds.
100%.
You know, because now they're like, he's too big.
But I couldn't then.
Yeah.
But you know what they did back in the day?
Hmm.
Put garbage bags on me and maybe run around the field for weeks and starve me. Because we only had to make the weigh-in once.
Right.
And I remember one time my coach, I was at least 20 pounds overweight. At least. And my coach goes, get on the scale. And I go, I'm 20 pounds. He goes, get on the scale. So I get on the scale and all of a sudden I feel something behind me. And he's looking at the scale, but he's picking up my belt from the back. And it was right on 150. And I was at least 175.
That's funny.
I was wrecking shop that year.
When Joey first played football, he played for a local team, the Lutz Chiefs. And he was too young to play with the older kids and too big to play with the small kids. Yeah. And I kept going, he's going to kill these kids. I mean, he was just physically bigger than them. And there was another kid that played with Joey. His name was Drew. And Drew didn't want to play because there was a lot of running involved. They made the kids do laps. Joey didn't even like to do the laps. He was not in the shape for it, right? Mm-hmm. So Drew was a heavier kid. And if you asked me between the two of them which one was going to play college ball, I would have said Joey all day and gave him the scholarship that day. And Drew would have said, look, there's other sports for you. You know what I'm saying? Drew shed a bunch of weight. Turn that size into muscle and has got a bunch of offers to go to college. That kid continued to play and kept going, and he's going to play college football. It's one of the biggest transitions I've ever seen on a kid, and I'm so happy for him because he had to work his ass off.
If somebody was going around picking NFL players, I'm not sure anybody would have picked me because I just wasn't that impressive.
Right.
I coached my son for 5 years.
Yeah.
We had one kid on a team, Fru Morgan. His father was a former player. Fru Morgan was big.
Fru
Morgan. And I go, he's coming. He goes, Ian, I just want you to toughen up my kid. And I would go, Fru Morgan, come on, show me something today. And he was soft as tissue paper. Like, I've never seen a kid that soft.
Right.
And his father used to just go, I don't know what to do. He started for Clemson Center.
Oh, really?
So when you're young, I wasn't that impressive. I was just a big kid that hasn't caught myself. But when you figure yourself out,
yeah,
like everybody peaks at a different time. I saw confidence. People peak at 12.
Yeah, you get confidence that doesn't come sometimes till. I wasn't confident at all until my 20s, you know?
I'm still not confident.
You're not? I'm the most confident guy in the world.
I think I'm a confident person, but I don't, you know, it could be overconfident. If you're too confident, then you don't hustle.
I'm a realist.
I think I'm a realist too.
I know I'm not going to beat most girls in basketball. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not, I'm not like.
Oh, do we have that list of the ones that called and said they could beat me? No, because none of them did.
I didn't mean that about you. I'm just saying, I know there's things I can do and I can't do. Like, I know I'm not a good basketball player.
Like,
I know
beat a Bobcat?
I remember
when Mayweather was younger and just boxing, and he would talk trash and do all that stuff, and Pretty Boy Floyd was his name back then. But people would say, oh, he's just a trash talker. And I go, but he backs it up.
Yeah.
I go, if you say all that stuff and then you go for your career 50-0 and you're fighting all great fighters and stuff, you can do that. You can do all that stuff.
I don't get the hate for Mayweather. Other than his persona,
yeah,
I get
he
that.
Brings it
out. Yeah, you're a piece of crap. I get it. But I don't want to talk about the boxing. Nobody ever punched him. Nobody ever hurt him.
No.
Nobody hurt him.
When I saw him fight, one of his first fights I saw him was against Arturo Gatti, and Arturo Gatti was great. And it looked like a grown man fighting a five-year-old. I went, what is this guy?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it was ridiculous.
I used to work out in the same place that Gotti worked out.
Yeah.
And then I remember he was Mayweather was fighting Ricky Hatton.
Yeah.
And like the green, everybody's like, Ricky Hatton's going to beat him. And I go, how much you want to bet on that?
Yep.
And then by the first round, like Mayweather was hitting him. He wasn't even jabbing him. He was just hitting him with lead rights. Bam! And I go, they better stop this fight. Like, if they fought 1,000 times, I don't think Hatton can win a round.
Yeah.
Mayweather's that good.
Mayweather is, I mean, look, he's managed to still be pretty after all these years, undefeated. Yeah. Although, if you ask me, I think what's embarrassing is that he did not destroy Logan Paul in that fight. Not that Logan Paul is not a boxer and he's not good, but I mean, if you're the greatest of all time and you're fighting a YouTuber, it should have been
I'm telling you, he
fight.
Carried him, so he placed the bet on the eighth round and stuff, and he made all kind of money. Yeah, but does it? Does it hurt when you're counting your $50 million on top of your $300 million that you made?
No,
in your career?
Probably not.
And you're like, yeah, think whatever you want to think. I still won just because I didn't win in the fashion that you wanted me to win. Mm-hmm. Doesn't, you know, it's still a win.
So, speaking of Gotti, did you see that? That's Mayweather's next fight is to fight John Gotti the III.
Oh, no.
Yes, I saw that on Instagram the other day.
Yeah, I think that's happening down in Miami.
Well, John Gotti the III is a big, muscular guy who's been boxing for a while, but I don't know if he's that good, but it just goes to show you, you could line up anything if you want to, if you got the money.
It doesn't matter how good the other person is.
Mm-mm.
It just doesn't. You're not going to hit him. And Mayweather, if he went out to knock out Paul, you're almost putting yourself in jeopardy.
Yeah.
Like, he just, like, I could do whatever I want to this guy. I could spar him. He could see every punch coming.
And take him into deep waters. Yeah. You know, Mayweather's been there. He knows, you know, going into whatever round and stuff, where a lot of those guys haven't been there that long. And they get in, they're boxing three rounds, and then they're done. They're gassed.
But I'm just telling you, I'm not going to buy any of these pay-per-views if I don't start seeing people get messed up. And when I watched the greatest boxer of all time fight a kid who's not a real boxer, I was like, I want to see someone get messed
up. But I can tell you that Jake Paul against Diaz, that's going to be because Diaz...
Diaz is a maniac.
Diaz is out of control.
Kind of guy.
Yeah, yeah. He's not gonna go little kitten mittens. He's not going to take a pay for a fall or anything like that. He's going to go out there with bad intentions.
By the way, kitten mittens is the most adorable thing you've ever said.
If Diaz is getting his butt kicked, he's going to do something Mike Tyson-ish.
Yeah, I could see that.
100%.
I could see that. Yeah.
When Mike Tyson fought Holyfield, I knew Holyfield was going to get on him. And I go, watch, something crazy is going to happen.
Yeah.
Because that's when Mike Tyson realized he's not a great boxer.
No.
He's a monster.
He was a heavy hitter.
He's a monster.
And if he could just nail in, he was definitely
Go back and watch the fights.
Oh,
go look at the other guy in the other corner while Mike is chewing up his gums.
Yeah.
And the other guy's going like, Jesus.
You already lost
the
fight.
100%.
Yeah, you know in your head that you lost the fight. And in the fight game, that's a huge part of it.
It's in every sport. I went and saw Spinks when I was in Montreal. I paid money to go see it at the Montreal Forum back in the day. It was 8 seconds in that fight, and Spinks was terrified.
Yeah.
Like, he didn't want to be there. Just give him my money. Let me get out of here before I die.
Leon Spinks wound up being a bouncer in downtown Chicago at a club. Yeah, it was sad. And he was missing all his front teeth. And
I think of all the fights that I paid for as a kid when I had no money of watching Mike Tyson, they would be over in the first 30.
So I spent
$100 on this.
Everybody would pull their money together and go over, and you'd order pizza and stuff. The pizza delivery, I ding dong, you'd be, it's over.
Yeah.
It's over.
Yeah.
Isn't it sad, though, that there's absolutely, you can't make up a boxing match right now that's even intriguing without a Paul in it.
I'm telling you right now. Oh yeah, like I know what you're saying now, but I would put together a boxing match that I think would be great, because I mean, think about when Kimbo Slice was fighting all those
people.
You're
gonna have non-boxers in the fight.
Yeah, it would have to be non-boxers.
Yeah, but I mean, Tyson Fury, if he ever makes a fight, he keeps on calling people out, and they keep on USAC and these different guys, whatever, but they're not getting the contract done. And, you know, he's another one of those guys that goes, I'm retired, then I'm not retired, I'll do that for free, I won $500 million. Like, you know, it's crazy. But he, Tyson Fury, is a great boxer.
Oh, I know he is, but if you go around, you could go around your neighborhood, and ask anybody who's a heavyweight champion. They have no idea.
Yeah. Which is crazy.
I think Tyson Fury brought a little bit more to that than some past champions. because of his whole gypsy thing and the singing and all that, I think more people pay attention to him.
But not a lot.
Not a lot.
I was on sports radio, and like somebody's talking about the Canelo fight this weekend, and I didn't hear about it till Friday.
Yeah.
And I love boxing.
Yeah.
And if, for me to not hear that Canelo's fighting, Canelo's the best boxer in the world, probably.
I wonder if I call my dad and ask him who the heavyweight champion is, if he'd know. Or he'd know if it was Tyson Fury.
The Mayweather exhibition is this weekend.
The Gotti one?
Yeah, June 11th. Oh,
that's
yeah.
interesting. Was it pay-per-view or anything? I'm not paying to watch it.
Yeah.
I'm not paying to watch it.
He's not going to fight for nothing.
All right, listen, Ian Beckles here. You're in a hurry or no? Can I take a break?
I'm good.
All right, we got things to talk about. Let me take a break, get some commercials out of the way, then we'll be back. It's the Mike Calta Show. This is 102.5 The Bone.
You're listening to the Mike Calta Show. Mike Calta Show on 102.5 The Bone. Want to know what's up in the world? We'll put down those Funyuns and listen to John's.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.